now, a lot of us like to laugh at comedy, but not all jokes are funny to everyone. There have been some recent controversies over material from comics like Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais, accused of crossing a line on issues affecting transgender people. These questions aren't new, from minstrel shows of the 1800s to a dust-up over comedians like Andrew Dice Clay in the 1980s. There's been a long back and forth over comedy that addresses race, LGBTQ issues, religion, and more. Comedians like to push boundaries, and comedy writers today are navigating a line between what's funny and what's offensive. Is everything fair game for comedy, or are there lines that shouldn't be crossed? I want to hear your answers to those questions at 800-642-1234. What do you think makes for good comedy? Do you have a line you draw between funny and offensive? Should comedians just target, go after whatever they want? Or is there something that you say, you know what, I'm done? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Scott Dickers is a comedy writer and a founding editor of the satirical news outlet The Onion. Born here in Wisconsin, he's a New York Times bestselling author of multiple books, including How to Write Funny, creator of Jim's Journal, and he was previously an intern for The Larry Miller Show on Wisconsin Public Radio. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me, Rob. It's delightful to be back here.
Good to have you back. Now, you've been writing comedy for years and years, sometimes, I imagine, in a room by yourself, sometimes in a writer's room. Like how?
Sometimes in a room right there at Wisconsin Public Radio at night.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Now, when you're working with other writers, I mean, how have you talked over the years about these issues? Like, is this crossing a line? Are we offending people? Should we worry about if we're offending people? What kind of conversations have you had over the years?
Oh, so many. So, we don't really talk about a line necessarily, I guess. That's a word a lot of people use. Mm-hmm. I think of this old phrase that came from journalism, which was comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And this is what I always talk to people about when they're doing comedy. We all know the whole idea of you shouldn't punch down. The other side of that equation is you should punch up. So you should make fun of the established power structures, politicians, you know, any kind of institution that is lording over us in one way or another. But if it ever feels like you're punching down, if you're making fun of a victim, if you're ridiculing a disenfranchised group or anything like that, audiences will not like the joke. Now, does that mean all audiences are part of the woke left? Kind of. Like, that's kind of the rule. So you can feel it in an audience. And obviously, if you're writing comedy and putting it on a website, you don't see the audience. But you get letters and you get a sense of it. And audiences are progressive by nature. They don't like to see people kicked while they're down. So that's why people like Dave Chappelle are getting so much heat for the trans material, because I mean, that wasn't really even jokes. You know, there are trans comedians who do trans jokes, and they're making fun of themselves, their predicament. They're doing it in a knowing way. But if you're going to go on stage like he did and say that trans people literally don't exist, it's offensive to anyone with half a sense of, you know, civility or community, that these are legitimate human beings and we should allow them to have their experience. If you're not doing that, then a lot of people are not going to like what you're doing. And, you know, you can cross those lines. You can do that. It's a choice you make. There might be some people who enjoy it, a small minority of people who are going to laugh right along with you. But the majority of the audience is going to be feeling a little icky when you do that.
Now, with the Dave Chappelle comedy special in particular, it got a lot of views on Netflix. It seemed like it went pretty well. And, you know, maybe some of that was, maybe I'm uncomfortable with those bits. But overall, Dave Chappelle is pretty funny, so I'll ride it out. I mean, it doesn't seem like he paid a huge cost for that material.
No, he's Dave Chappelle, so he's fine. You know, if you're a comedian starting out and you go out there and do that, you're going to get booed off the stage because they don't like you yet. So he operates by a different set of rules. And that's just the way it is. You know, I'm sure he would tell you that he has gotten a lot of heat because he probably never hears the end of it. You know, it caused a lot of controversy. Netflix had to step in, and it was just a really unfortunate mess. So, yeah, he did fine at the end of the day. And that's kind of what I'm saying. It's like you make the choice. And if you're going to kick someone who's down. In other words, make fun of a disenfranchised group. But again, he didn't even really make fun of the group. He basically said they don't exist. He doesn't believe they exist. So that's a really insensitive thing to say. And you're going to have people complaining. And like I said, you're also going to have people who don't care, who don't mind, who say, he's funny. You know, I'll take the rest of it. And that's a choice that every comedian and comedy writer has to make. And you have to make it based on how well do people already like me? How much capital do I have to expend on this? You know, The Onion was around for a long time when we put out a really offensive tweet, and people were really, you know, offended and got a lot of angry letters, got a lot of media attention. But The Onion had been around for like 25 years at that point. It's not going to ruin us. You know, we can handle it. We'll move on. People will forget. But if you're just starting out, you can't really afford to do that. Or if you just met someone, you're telling a joke in mixed company, you know, good luck to you.
Talking to Scott Dickers, founder of The Onion, a New York Times bestselling author of books, including How to Write Funny, looking at comedy and when people take offense at a comedian, at comedy writing. You could join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. Are there comedians or shows, TV shows or whatever, that turned you away because of something they did? Is there something you tolerated in spite of it, or do you not worry about it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. I want to give a listen to Rowan Atkinson, known as Mr. Bean and Blackadder from a couple of well-known British comedy series. He made the case in an interview here with Ireland AM that it's the job of comedy to offend, that every joke has a victim. Here's a listen.
I'm a great believer that artists should never apologize for their art. You put something out there, you paint a watercolor, you make a joke, you make a television show, whatever it is. If people are offended, that's their problem. It's not yours. You've done your bit. If they don't want you to work for them again, then that's, you know, that may become your problem, but you've done your bit and you've done your best, and it's up to the audience to judge.
So you put it out there into the world and don't really worry, I guess, about that, the response people might have. Scott, what do you think?
Well, no, every comedian worries, and I know he worries, and it's a sexy thing to say in an interview, but I can't remember anything Rowan Atkinson has ever done that made me bristle and think, ooh, that was over the line, because he's very good. He's one of our better comedians and comic writers. So, yeah, I basically agree in principle that, yeah, you can put out anything you want, but any comedian or any comedy writer is going to think about the consequences. They're going to think, are people going to accept this? Because comedy doesn't, it's not a one-way street. Comedy requires an audience. It's not art. So in that way, I would disagree with him. Comedy is entertainment. If the audience doesn't laugh, it's not funny and it doesn't work. So you need that audience to like what you're doing. Again, if you wanted to be really offensive and you want to cross lines all day, you might get a small sliver of the audience who thinks you're just great. And if you want to, you know, appeal to that niche, that's your option. Like he said, you can put it out there and you do your best. But I do agree with him that I don't think a comedian should ever apologize for their work. I hate that idea. Like, yeah, if someone is offended, it truly is their fault. On the same side of that coin, the comedian has a responsibility to try to entertain and make the audience laugh, as opposed to bristle with offense in large.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, I agree that the best comedy addresses the people, the audience. If you can gauge how the audience is feeling. I have two examples I'd like to share. We had a comedian come to the Tri-State Fair years ago in Douglas County. And he was looking at, you know, hundreds of people, and he said, you know, Superior seems like a pretty nice place when they finally get it finished. And everybody laughed because there was road construction and everything going on. And everybody thought that was funny. And there was another time at the cathedral where the priest it was 100 degrees out. Everyone was fanning. We didn't have air conditioning. And the priest said during his homily, it was the shortest homily I ever heard. He goes, well, it's hotter in hell. Let's rise and profess our faith. And everybody laughed. But it was, you know, addressing the audience and how the audience was feeling.
Jeff, thanks a lot for the call. Scott, I guess reading the room in some ways and having fun with what you know your audience is.
Yeah, any kind of, you know, one thing that always kills on stage is making fun of the place you're at, because people love to hear their city or their state made fun of, you know, good-natured ribbing.
Jeff, thanks for that call. We are talking to Scott Dickers, from the founding editor of The Onion, longtime comedy writer, looking at modern comedy, the line between funny and offensive. And still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Have your comedic sensibilities changed over the years? Do you ever go back and listen to stuff from when you were a kid and laugh, cringe, maybe both at the same time? Are there things for you that you're like, nope, that's too far, I don't like that bit, or I'm done with this comedian or this show or this author, or you name it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We continue our talk with Scott Dickers. He's a comedy writer and author who helped found the satirical news outlet The Onion here in Wisconsin, with us today looking at how comedians and comedy writers navigate modern sensibilities between what's funny and what's harmful in comedy. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. Who are some of your favorite comedians? How do they walk the line, if they do, between funny and offensive? Do you like comedy that pushes the boundaries? Or do you think there's some boundaries you'd rather not see pushed? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Scott, I'm thinking back at an older example with what you were saying earlier about, you know, if you're saying things that are offensive and how it'll affect your audience. I want to go back to like the minstrel shows of the 1800s, early 1900s, where, you know, it's white people in blackface enacting stereotypes of black people for other white people. And I'm guessing some of the white audiences found it hilarious. And then the comedians there got, you know, big laughs from the white audience, and nobody really thought about what it said about the black people that were being made fun of.
No, Amos and Andy was one of the more popular radio shows, and they went on TV. Like, they were playing that on old time radio in my lifetime. So there's a thing about comedy that if you're not very aware of all of the various audiences that you're performing to or writing to, your comedy might not age well. So back then they were figuring, well, our audience is white people, so we're going to make fun of black people, and the white audience will enjoy that. Everybody will be happy. Then we sort of expand it's like the analogy would be the expanding the circle of liberty. You know, we're expanding the audience. So, okay, if black people are part of the audience, maybe you don't want to make fun of black people in these stereotypical ways, because now they're part of the audience. And then in the 70s, 80s, we had a lot of like gay humor making fun of gay men. And that was like, go to. We had Three's Company, you know, gay joke after gay joke. That kind of fell out of fashion in the 90s, I would say, when gay men started to become enveloped in that expanding circle of liberty or audience. And we keep expanding that. And so now the most marginalized group is trans people. And so that's why we have a lot of these issues. If you notice, like, in the 80s and 90s, the biggest laugh you could get on Saturday Night Live was two men kissing. People are laughing. It's so outrageous. Oh my God, can you imagine two men kissing? Then they realize, oh, you know, there are actually men in our audience who like kissing men, and they don't like that joke because we're mocking this thing that they're literally trying to get the right to legally marry someone. And they get that right. Of course, it's probably gonna get rolled back any day now here, but now it's not funny. You don't see that performed anymore. But trans people have not achieved that station that gay men have achieved. So you can make fun. Actually, it's less now in mainstream comedy, but I would say in the aughts, between 2000 and 2010, you would see a lot of transphobic humor, much like you saw gay humor in the 80s and 90s. And I've always endeavored to do comedy at The Onion that was, you know, just a little more woke. Like, you want to be perceived as being no holds barred. You know, you'll make fun of everybody, equal opportunity offender. But again, if you're kicking people who are down and you're making fun of a group as if that group isn't in the room, it's not going to age well. So, you know, the Onion's had its fair share of gay jokes, trans jokes, et cetera, but we're never making fun of them like they're not in the room. We're having fun with them, and they're part of the humor. And that's the kind of humor that ages well.
A lot of the response to criticism of comedy that transgresses some of those rules that kicks down, I guess, centers around the phrase cancel culture. That, okay, if I can't do whatever comedy I want to do, you're taking something away from me. What do you make of that, the rise of this concept of, this isn't just in comedy, obviously, but the rise of the concept of cancel culture as it relates to comedy?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a huge range. You know, there's the cancel culture where someone applies for a job and then their boss finds out that they wrote an offensive joke 20 years ago, so they don't hire them or they fire them right away. You know, that's, I think, the example of cancel culture that everyone kind of doesn't like and wishes would go away. But then there's, you know, somebody like Louis C.K. who, you know, sexually assaulted all these comedians who he had in a room with him, who look up to him and who thought he was going to be giving them comedy career advice. And so someone like that, I think it's fair that, like for me, like I have a hard time watching his comedy now, because anytime he does a joke about masturbation, which he does a lot of them, I can't help but picture that. And it's an icky feeling. So like Louis C.K. kind of ruined Louis C.K. for me. And does that equal canceling? I don't know. I think it's just consequences for behavior that we used to tolerate that now we realize is something we shouldn't tolerate. You know, Harvey Weinstein should have gotten canceled. I think that's a good cancellation. But yeah, should we cancel people because they told an insensitive joke a few years ago? No, I don't think you should ever cancel people for their art or their creativity. And I would be the last person to hold a grudge against somebody who wrote a joke 20 years ago and forbid them from getting a job. But if somebody's actually raping people in their spare time, totally different. Cancel them.
Talking to Scott Dickers, founding editor of The Onion, looking at comedy, when funny becomes offensive, how people in the business, comedy writers and comedians handle these issues. Scott, I read something on your blog, your How to Write Funny blog. It wasn't talking about this in particular, but I thought it fit pretty well. The idea of, hey, the internet, people are writing jokes all the time. If you are trying to be the first one to respond with this obvious joke, somebody's probably going to beat you to it. I think about this with, you know, if your jokes are the stereotype, the same, you know, Don Rickles Polish joke or whatever back then, or the same gay joke in the 1980s or whatever, it's not that original. You're kind of doing the same shtick as everybody else. Does this kind of thing lead to just bad and lazy comedy too?
Yeah, it can. Just not being original is really the greatest sin that a comedian or a comedy writer can commit. So having a unique voice and having, you know, is like having a unique fingerprint. So if you know who you are as a comedian, what your comedic voice is, you almost can't help but be original. If you're just writing the same hack jokes that everybody else is writing, yeah, chances are somebody's going to write that same joke and beat you to it nowadays. You can't win.
Are there things that, you know, when you came into the business X number of years ago, you look back and think, I might have done things differently now knowing what I know?
I mean, there were certainly mistakes made, and we told a lot of offensive jokes that maybe today I wouldn't make. But when you're starting out, you kind of have to make those mistakes. You have to figure out where your comfort ends. And so I don't regret that, because it certainly taught us a lot to make a lot of offensive jokes, you know, and to almost get sued by certain people for making fun of them or making fun of their companies or whatever. There's a good amount of that in the Onion's history. So I can't say that I would do anything differently, because you got to learn that stuff. You got to kind of explore and see what works for you and what works for your voice and what the audience will tolerate. So again, that makes it even more difficult for the beginner comedian who's just starting out. You know, they kind of have to be the safest, because if they make a mistake, it's really easy for their confidence to dry up, or for their career to fizzle, or for them to not get booked. But if they're established, they've been around for 20 years, you know, Louis C.K. still has a career. You know, he's got plenty of people who don't mind what he did and are happy to buy his stuff. I see him in a lot fewer TV shows, and I see him talked about a lot less, and he is kind of marginalized, but he's doing fine because he's got that reputation. He's got that long history, and he's established himself.
Scott, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
That's Scott Dickers, comedy writer, founding editor of the satirical news outlet The Onion. He's the author of several books and offers courses on comedy through his website, howtowritefunny.com. He was with us today to share how comedians and comedy writers like him toe the line between funny and offensive.